Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello team, this is a hoovering I've been dreaming and hoping to get done for ages. I'm only with the amazing Lagom chef, also known as Martin O'Dell off the internet and telly, and being the funniest and most delicious food maker out of everyone. You are in for a right nice time here, and he's a food waste warrior. All my favourite things. It was hard not to propose. First and foremost, thank you for listening to Hoovering. Second and middlemost, thanks if you're my patron. If you're not, would you maybe become one if you've got, like, even just £2 a month knocking about? That's probably, like, what a Mars bar costs at the moment, which is, well, I mean, that is ridiculous. Do prioritise your Mars bars. Anyway, if you've got a Mars bar and then you've still got £2, my patrons are the only reason I can afford to make this podcast. It makes absolutely fuck all money for me. In exchange for your kind wedge, you patrons, there is all sorts I swap you. Whole exclusive episodes, fortnightly exclusive content, free stuff, discount stuff, ad-free episodes, loads, little videos from me, birthday messages. Anyway, go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and see if you might be able to join in, will you? In terms of my own business, I'm on a stand-up comedy tour. I'm not even a full-time podcaster. I'm a full-time stand-up comedian. Come and see me on tour. My show is called Metal. It's happening right now. I've already sold out a load of places, from Soho to Reading to Norwich to Edinburgh to Bath. And I'm already sold out Cardiff, even though that's yet to come. But there are still tickets in other places. I'm in huge venues. Tonight I'm in Hull, in Manchester. Tomorrow, that's a whopper. Come, there'll be room in Manchester. And then later on I'm coming to places like Maidenhead, Plymouth, Macfest, Bridport and Exeter. Many, many more places, including a giant London date at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. Come. You can Google it, or alternatively, there is a link in the podcast notes and a link tree on my Instagram at Jessica Fostercue. Oh, we're in for a fun time now, please. I met Martin in his super cool East London studio where he makes all his badass content.
Thanks for having me in your swanky studio.
You're welcome.
It does feel like being in the trendiest back bit of a restaurant ever.
I know. Well, you just don't look behind you. That's where the rubbish happens.
It's great.
Yeah.
And it's so colourful. Right, where to start? I've wanted to do this with you for ages. I love your videos. Thanks for them.
That's okay. It's helped a lot of people, those videos.
Oh, my God, they've helped a lot of people. Yeah. I'm yet to watch one that hasn't made me laugh, starving, and go, oh, I'm going to have a go at that. They're all three. Every vid achieves all three. So
yeah, well, I do try. And it's, I have this pressure of, like, the intro.
Yeah.
I have this sort of, like, real, like, going, right, what do I do? What do I do now? I've done throwing ingredients.
Yeah.
And I used to, in my old house, have, like, a big, like, hallway. So I used to be able to, like, swan in and do stupid stuff. But now I'm, like, in front of a counter and I'm like, what do I do?
You're going to have to learn some sort of calisthenics or gymnastics. So I know. You've got different ways of entering this smaller space.
I am not flexible.
You're going to walk in on your hands. Give it a year's time. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Talking of throwing things, you did one recently of George Eggs where you made some pizzas in it. And then I can't stop chuckling at how differently you used the, what do you call it? The scythe, the special pizza,
the
knife
cutter.
With 2 set pizza cutter. He approached it so delicately and you look like you've guillotine, just like smash, 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 4 big guillotine, bang, bang, I cut the pizza center.
That's
off.
It. Well, I think if you probably sat and you took each other's phones and you switched over, like George's phone would be so relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, like pizza's being made in Naples and wonderful. Yeah. And mine's like Domino's pizza, who could cut it the fastest? Bosh, bosh, bosh. So, yeah, my influence is mainly the internet.
I like it. Where did Food Waste Disruptor as a job title come from? Did you make it up? I like it.
I did. So basically, when I started my channels, I was like doing what every person in sustainability did. Like, I was like talking stats, going, oh yeah, this is wasted, that's wasted, it's your fault, you're an idiot. And then my mate does a lot of like branding with agencies and stuff. And during lockdown, he gave me a bit of an audit of my brand. And he was like, going, look, this is where you're sitting. This is where you want to sit. And he gave me this one sentence that was like, be a mate, not a wanker. And I was like, oh, that's me. Yeah. And it just unleashed me. It was like someone pulling my trousers down and going, go on, boy, run. So I was just like,
surely
right.
Surely running's harder with them down.
Well, once you got them off.
Oh, right off. Get them right
off. You're faster, streamlined.
I was just sort of thinking you're very limited in terms of gait there.
A three-legged race. Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
When that sort of like this epiphany moment happened, and I was like, right, that's it, I'm going to go in there and disrupt. So I was like, right, who do I disrupt now? So then I was sort of just like being the sort of like the odd one out. Everyone was doing like must eat sustainably, you know, regenerative soil, all of this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm a chef. I love food, but all the messaging lost me.
Yeah.
So I kind of like distilled everything down and it became, what's the solution to food waste? Eat. Surely that's the solution. So I was like, now that's my saying. Eat the food you buy and then you solve food waste in your home.
Oh, so I'm obsessed with food waste at the moment.
Yeah.
And I want to, I've got loads. Oh, I mean, there's lots of angles which we can approach this from. We'll start with, I've brought you some of my leatheriest fruit.
Great.
And maybe we just have can I just have some ideas? I'm very much going to put you on the spot. But also, we could just eat some of it.
Yeah.
Because that is number one solution.
Well, those kiwis look like they need to be in.
Kiwis
people eat the kiwi skin.
Have you ever tried the kiwi skin?
Well, I did it once when I was a kid and I got itchy tongue. And I don't know if it was that or something else.
I think it's probably... I'm up for
but
it.
But people just eat it. They do, just chew
it. I might have a go now.
Yeah, go on.
I've never have.
Pass this one.
Come on. Mine is almost liquid within.
Mine's got hair on it. It's got a crease in it.
And it's frankly got an anus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kiwi, which is not
I'm going to delve straight to the anus.
You're going anus first. It's probably best to get it done. Although I'm talking as if...
It's quite bitty.
You're going to have to finish it, which isn't... There's no law on that. Okay, he's gone in.
I mean...
It
is just like eating an apple, but a little bit hairier.
Mine's almost turned to alcohol and I love it. That is so sweet. I think it's almost started fermenting.
You know when they say don't... You know, try not to lip your lips with a donut because you get the sugar. I've got all like furry bits on my lips.
Yeah.
I need to lick it.
Once you get down to the skin, it's a bit, it's almost sour, quite chemically. But is that going to be, I'm trying to think of some silver linings. Is there ups? Is there?
Yeah, we've solved food waste.
Yeah.
That's done.
I saw someone the other day threatening to bake with kiwis. I've had one go at that. No, it's my partner actually. It's in one of the lockdowns. Kiwi glut. Sorry, odd box, but their fault. My fault for not putting it on the exclusion list quick enough. And she made kiwi muffins. They were fucking rank. They were fucking rank. And like, I will eat most things, and it was uneatable. And we couldn't get through them. I couldn't get through a whole one in one sitting. I was trying, chipping away. And in the end, she put them out on the table in the little garden, and foxes ate them.
Great.
And I was like, great, we've avoided food waste. But then the next night, a fox came back and did the biggest shit in the middle of the table. As a like, fuck you.
I tried.
Coaxing me in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there, I think, what year are we now? 24. 2022 was the year of, like, getting a brief about hacks. Mm. It was endless. It was just yeah, we're looking for 5 hacks on food waste, 5 hacks on how to use up skins, 5 hacks on how to... I was just like, by the end of it, it was just like rinse and repeat. You're having the same answers. If you don't like it, then we're moving on. But there is only so many solutions. And I also think, like, there's a lot of people that are given solutions about things.
Mm.
But they're not practical in your home. Like, they're good on, like, the grand scale. You know, Doug McMaster from Silo, like, the original, well, the only zero-waste restaurant in Hackney Wick.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Incredible. But I spoke to him, and it's called Silo because it only works in Silo. You know, he controls all of what comes in, what goes out, who's there, who's doing what.
Is that what Silo means?
Well,
I've just finished the series on Apple.
Like, grain Silo.
And now it makes sense. This is bad. This happened again. This is like...
Your one smells really funky. No wonder you were saying that. My one was delicious.
I hope I'm going to be all right. I have picked the anuses off.
Have you?
Yeah, both anuses. Because I couldn't finish that. Shut up.
I'll have your anus.
You can eat my anuses. We are... Come on.
She's bitty.
She bitty, crunchy boy. Don't have to swallow that.
Day 3 of a festival, is that?
When I did... This is so... Anyway, that side of things reminded me of... it was about 3 series into Succession that someone was like... They were a series ahead of me. I'd done 2 and they'd done 3 and they were like, yeah, and they're still, you know, obviously then now they're saying that he might pass the company on to this child, and now they're saying that actually if he dies then this is going to happen. And I was like, oh, is he still not fucking decided who's going to have his business? And they were like, yeah, I mean, it's called Succession. And I was like, oh
penny drop.
Oh, I see. And I feel like you've given me that moment with the series Silo.
It's like one of those ones of in-betweeners, isn't it? It's just like, did you know that God is dog spelt backwards?
It is. Oh. Yeah, but at least they're children. I'm 40. For fuck's sake. It's shameful. No, I imagine it gets pretty fucking boring asking for hacks upon hacks upon hacks.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sorry.
All right.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you for hacks then. I'm sick of that. Don't do that.
Do you want to look in my fridge?
Yeah.
So my fridge, I'm currently filming a brunch series, as you can see. I'm slowly chipping my way through it. So there isn't...
Are the circled ones you've done, or ones...
Yeah.
He's done granola.
I've done... Look, the big jar of it.
I burn that. That doesn't look burnt.
No, you can have a taste of that. So it's kind of a semi-interesting fridge. There are a few weird things in here currently. That's ham, obviously.
I wouldn't have known, obviously. I thought it might be the side of a big duck.
Yeah, there you go. Shoulder.
Yeah,
human shoulder. This is muff mix. So that's a muffin.
Breakfast muffin.
Yeah, just shortened it because I'm cool.
Because it looks like Tudor.
Yeah, it's fluffy. It's the bicarb in it that makes it go all nice and aerated. No, that's a blueberries.
Blueberries, yummy.
Yeah. This is probably one of the more interesting things. It is very weird. So this is brewer's yeast.
Ooh.
Oh. Yes, there's lots of breweries near me. One called Signature Brew, and we're doing a little pop-up. And I was like, oh, let's do a Marmite. I've tried it before, and it is absolutely disgusting.
Marmite beer?
No, Marmite.
Marmite.
Actual Marmite from brewer's yeast. So you can do it from normal yeast, and it tastes all right. But from brewer's yeast, it's so bitter and minging. So I've got to try again.
I've had a gig in there.
Oh, she's going.
Shut the door, please.
No, you just shut it. That's killing the world, isn't it?
I'm opening it again.
Yeah. What else is there?
Sorry, word.
Shakshuka base made that. Obviously, that's on the list. That one's tasty.
What's the bet? What, so, but just like the sauce?
Yeah, the sauce.
Is it a treat-sery one?
No, completely veggie.
Just a tomato-y one.
Mm. So I think the thing, like, what people don't understand from restaurants is I think people believe that things are cooked to order. So when you kind of like going, oh no, you can make a lot of something and then all they do is reheat it.
Yeah.
And people are like...
That's what freezers are for.
Yeah.
And fridges.
So talking about a lot about that. And that's obviously like one of the biggest solutions to food waste is being prepared, having
batch
things in your freezer
cooking.
That is a bit mental in there.
Oh, look in there. Yeah. Frozen bread.
Lots of bread.
Look at those brown manky bananas.
Manky bananas, yeah.
But then, okay. Oh, is that for a stock, all these peelings?
Yeah. So I just have a little pot. So every time I'm doing onions, I just kind of chuck them in there. Don't
I
think about it.
I put my bread to crumbs before I put it in the freezer.
Yeah, my mate came over drunk and he just said, I got half eaten baguette, do you want it? And I was like, stick it in the freezer,
mate. Get it in the freezer, babe.
So, yeah.
Can I ask a breadcrumb specific question?
Go on.
This is like food waste therapy for me. It's nothing I can't ask.
What's your problems?
I'm always whizzing up a dying bum of bread.
Yeah.
When I've breadcrumbed it and get it out of in this little bag. But what if the recipe says panko breadcrumbs or cremolata?
Cremolata.
What's the difference? Can I still use them?
Yeah, so panko is just toasted, like white toasted flakes. Well, you can toast it. So what I sometimes do, if I've got loads of like knob ends of bread, I'll toast them and let them go dry and then flake them. So you can kind of either chop them up or just blitz them or whatever. So then they do feel a bit more flaky. Because if you have soggy breadcrumbs or like fresh breadcrumbs, you would use that for like meatballs.
Okay.
So there's some Swedish meatballs in there. So you soak your fresh bread in your milk and onions and all that kind of stuff. And then it kind of absorbs and you get like a beautiful, moist ball.
Big moist ball. Air fryer's good.
I tell you what, like...
It's a tiny oven, isn't it?
Just a tiny oven. Me and George have got a YouTube video coming out.
Yeah.
And we were talking, he said, do I need an air fryer? And I was like, George, you have an oven. They're convenient ovens.
If
that's
you've
all
got
they
a decent
are.
Oven, we had a shit oven when we first moved into our house that I think had been there centuries.
Yeah, yeah.
It took the handle falling off and like just rusting off.
Yeah.
And realising we couldn't cook anything that required real extreme heat. No Yorkshires, no... Just nothing that needed to
heat.
Rise, yeah. And that we were like, right, get a new one. That's absolutely... And I think it took us so long to change to a decent oven, or get a new oven, because we had an air fryer.
Yeah.
And then, naturally, I think a decent oven is almost as quick.
Yeah. I think they're brilliant for, like, I hate to say this, the market they've got are people that want to go, I want some sausages, chips, chicken nuggets, and I just want to chuck them in there and turn them on.
Yeah.
It's so quick for things like that. Yeah. But if you want to do, like... you know, a roast dinner. You're not going to be doing it in an air fryer. They are good
for
little things.
And I think the other market they've tried to tap into, have said, it's lower fat. You'll have a lower fat product, so you'll have a healthier product. But
you
then
will,
it tastes like
but,
shit.
Yeah, it will.
It
you will get it.
Dehydrates things. You can stick stuff in there with no fat. It's going to be arid.
It's an air oven.
It's going to...
Yeah. I did a Scotch egg video, and I did one deep fried and then one in the air fryer.
Right.
And the air fryer one just sort of like... cooked. It didn't get crispy. You don't get that lovely sort of like golden crumb. So it's just an oven.
Yeah.
A convenient fast oven. Air fryer it's a con. It's not a fryer.
Yeah.
There's no frying involved.
I asked for one for a birthday last year and got one, lucky me, but I 100% misunderstood what it was.
Yeah, the best setting on this is the Ninja Dual Basket one. The best setting is Max Crisp, but on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
Me and George are talking, and he goes, Max Crisp. And he was like, sounds like an American presidential candidate. Every time he presses Max Crisp, he goes, Max Crisp.
Max Crisp. He's Republican, isn't he? Max Crisp.
Max Crisp.
100%. Probably used to be a wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
Might have my vote.
Max Crisp.
Can any old twat make a mushroom powder?
Yeah.
What?
Are you a twat?
Do you not need a... So some of the things, I think... panic me. Some of the things you can do with food that's dying to make sure you can still eat it or turn it into something that can even make other dishes delicious, like the idea for me of a mushroom powder, I panic about that. I think, have I got the skills for that? Have I got the equipment? Have I got time?
Have I got time?
You can't answer that.
No. So, I mean, making powders, all you're doing is dehydrating stuff.
But do you need a dehydrator?
I've got one, but you don't need to. Your oven goes down 50, 60 degrees.
Is that what that is? Yeah. So you turn your oven down really low and stick it in for a long time.
Air fryer's even got a 60 degree setting.
Has it? Don't eat mine
as. Yeah, it's a mushroom powder. I mean, mushrooms are just full of water. So you obviously takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I did it and I put it in my dehydrator and left it overnight, 12 hours, and then there were like little brittle sticks and then you just blitz it. That's it. It's like paprika is basically just pepper.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I saw a video the other day on like...
My God.
I don't know what I was going to say, on like TikTok, because it was on TikTok, but like a channel that I know. It sort of explains all these simple things. Yeah, paprika is just like a special or a type of pepper, maybe even just a bell pepper, dehydrated and blitzed down.
It's the silo succession dog has gone backwards moment again.
Full circle.
I had no idea that paprika was that.
Yeah.
So why is some sweet and some smoky?
So it's a different pepper. Wait, they've been treated, so you smoke a pepper... Maybe you'd roast a pepper, maybe you'd do something to the pepper. I don't know, I haven't researched this. I know you can make chilli powders, any chilli powder. Dehydrate a chilli, blitz it, done.
So we could be doing that with our tired old chilies.
Yeah, and the fruit that you've got, you turn them into fruit levers. That's what dehydrating is, isn't it?
What?
The...
fruit leathers, as in like you'd buy an apricot in a bag to give a child so that they've had something before you give them the Milky Bar.
Exactly.
You could do that. Could you do a pear?
Yeah. So I used to do it for my son because we used to buy these bear rolls.
Oh God!
And they're like did rinse you. They're like £2.50 a pop.
Yeah, and then my son used to do them in a wanna.
Yeah, the whole box.
I wouldn't even unroll the roll. Oh, really? Yeah, no, jump in. You're like, oh, unit.
Like, enjoy it. It's like a cheese string, mate. Make the hair.
Yeah,
you know,
you're not supposed to gulp it like a snake.
All you do is literally just like core out the fruit and then you just blitz it down and then you can cook it down so it like tastes, you know, like make a puree. So you can like taste it. Do you want to add a bit more sugar, you know, balance it out a bit. And you just spread it out in a bit of nonstick paper, dehydrate in your oven or in there, and then they just turn into leather. It's the pectin, isn't it? Pectin.
Whoa, so you don't need to add extra pectin.
No.
So is pectin what you add to jam to make it even
gluier? So it's quite naturally occurring in things like apples and all that kind of jazz and pears and whatnot. So
would jam become jam if you left it long enough?
Well, I think you put the sugar and the pectin in to preserve it.
I'm so sorry, I haven't got any of my normal questions for you. I just want to ask you things like, does cheese ever actually go off?
Yeah. Oh. I was on Sunday brunch and there was this whole conversation about butter going off. What? And my point was like, you would eat the butter before it goes off.
Yeah.
And then, I can't remember who it
was. Who's saving butter for best?
Oh, who is it? Frank Skinner. He was on there and he said, oh, well, I got... So that's not his voice, but that's his voice now.
I'm enjoying it.
He was like, oh, well, I went on a flight to Bermuda and I had some butter and I was sick. And I was like, yeah, it's because it's probably been on the plane for like 4 years. It's probably melted. So I was like, look, it does go off. It's mainly fat. There's a little bit of like, you know, milk solids in there, which will be the bit that makes it go funky. But you're going to eat the butter before it goes off.
Yeah.
Cheese, just freeze it.
Just freeze it.
We had a cheesecake, how do you explain it? Cheese, a real cheese cake for our wedding.
Ooh.
So not a cheesecake, yeah. And everyone was hammered. Yeah. I couldn't even finish my speech. So like, we got to the point where everyone had had like sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah.
And then the yard sale pizza turned up. We ordered like a grand's worth of pizza.
Oh, God, love
it. And then we kept looking at this cheese thing going like, is anyone going to eat that? Yeah. I think someone had like the corner of like the brie. So we had like six kilos
worse,
of cheese.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Next day woke up and was like, where did the cheese? And it's just like opened up the freezer like a dead body of cheese. Like,
yeah. Glorious.
It freezes well.
Freezes every cheese, it freezes well. And then what? Let's stick it in a sauce.
Yeah. So my grated series, which I did on TikTok.
Right.
Which kind of like sent me into the TikTok stardom.
Woohoo!
Feta. Alexis Conran,
grated frozen feta.
Yeah, it comes out
I
like
I had an idea
like
of trying
snow.
To thumb in a You're fresh feta into a
no,
no,
it's don't like thumbing try in a, day four at the festival.
It's a long festival. Yeah, our
I love
lives.
A long festival. Yeah, went there for the build. Yeah, it's a grated frozen feta is unbelievable. Like on top of pasta, it just comes like snow. And then like anything, Stilton's perfect. Ooh. If you want to do it onto like Doug McMaster does it on these like quavers. He makes these quavers somehow. I don't know. He does it and then grates like really funky frozen cheese, and it kind of like, oh, it's brilliant. Yeah,
that's my afternoon.
Yeah,
sorted. So basically, the solution to food waste before we move on is as simple as eat what you buy.
Eat the food you buy. And I say to people, I was like, buy what you need, not what you think we need. You know, we used to be bad at it and like fill the fridge and go like, right, I've got turkey for Thursday, I've got this for that. You've got kids, you've got a life, something will happen and you won't fancy it. You know, in the world we are, there's supermarkets on every corner, you know, there's like good soup, like international veg markets and everything. You just grab what you need.
It's also not unreasonable to look in your fridge and go, I don't fancy that.
No.
Yeah, there's more I think initially it can feel like a trap. I think like just like eat what you've bought.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, sometimes I find that really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited by eating and I want what I fucking fancy, and if I don't fancy what I've got in, it feels like a fucking effort to eat what I've got in. But I'm determined to learn how to do it.
Someone said there was a saying called the Swedish sausage. Ooh. Which is what you do when you're at the barbecue. So you're at the barbecue, you always have a Swedish sausage, which kind of like takes that edge off.
Yeah.
So it's like you do the Swedish sausage when you go shopping. Like you have a little sausage before you go out, so you don't go in there like a stoner and like, I'm going to have, you know, fig roll and beef for dinner tonight. You know, you go in there and like going, oh, God, do I actually fancy that?
Mm.
So the Swedish sausage, I don't know if it's a real saying or...
It is now.
Swedish sausage. This is my wonderful dry store, obviously, but like, that's the backbone of it. It doesn't go off.
Fit. Yeah.
And it never, like, this is all the stuff that makes a dish. And I always give examples like a curry. Like, if you did a really basic curry,
yeah.
curry powder, coconut milk. I know that's going to taste shit, but you understand. Yeah. And then all you have to do is plug in fresh ingredients. So, yeah. like, that stuff can be there if you want
garlic,
to make a
ginger.
Dish.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to taste shit then.
Exactly. A little bit of salt. Mm.
Oh, yeah, a lot of bit of salt,
yeah.
actually. Yeah,
bit of lemon.
Yeah,
a little
salt.
Yeah.
How could
you forget
about
salt?
Bit of vinegar. Why not?
Grandiosis. Yeah, what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiosis.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, I'm interrupting my own podcast just now, very quickly, just briefly, for a bit of fun. I ask a listener question every now and again on Instagram, at the Hoovering Pod, if you're not aware of it. And on Twitter, I ask as well. And some of your answers are amazing. I had to share them. I have to share the best ones. I asked you what the least or the most fresh thing you've ever eaten was. And God, some of these answers have just been lovely. Kirsty on Instagram, the freshest things. I've grown myself courgettes, tomatoes, etc. Brackets. How pompous. I don't think so. I think it's cool. The least fresh. My child's half-eaten flapjack that I found at the bottom of my bag. I struggled to finish the sentence because actually a gip was rising. She says, I don't know how long it had been there. I'm a very multifaceted person. Absolutely fair play. I've had a thing recently where, because my son leaves, and I'm going to be honest, my adult partner, both leave a trail of snack where they've been. And I'm so, it's so annoying clearing it up, but it's also, the food waste hurts me and the feelings. That I tend to just sort of like, I clean it with my mouth. Well, I don't lick it up, but I put it in my mouth if it looks like it was something nice. And, I've had a terrible mistake recently with, well, it was cat litter. Okay, AJ Harford on Instagram. Freshest thing was probably a coconut from Jamaica. Whoa, I want that. They've written, the man climbed the tree in front of me and cut the stem and then chopped it open for me to drink. Yum. I want that. I want that. I want that now, actually. I want that. Becky on Instagram. Freshest, a chicken that was clucking 30 mins before in a weird cafe in Egypt. Wow. Wow. That's bold. That is like, talk about farm to fork. That is, whoa. That is intense. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it's fresh. That is as fresh gets, isn't it? Ooh, wowee. That's the opposite of the sort of cat cafe you get here. Imagine if they slaughtered them. No, don't imagine that. Don't know why I've said it. The least fresh thing Becky's had was chicken from a tin in the USA. Hey. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, please, can we not have an apocalypse? Because I am not up for that. Right, we've got an amazing voice note now from Felicity. Which I think is sort of, well, I've been prepped. It's sort of about a fresh thing, but how you make a fresh thing feel really unfresh.
I used to work in primary schools as a teaching assistant. Unfortunately, the role does not include many breaks. I also worked as the midday supervisor, dinner lady. So I couldn't even have my lunch when the children had their lunch. I had to serve their lunch, clean up their lunch, and then have my lunch. And I would
be dying.
So shaking and hungry because I'm somebody that really likes their food. So one day I excused myself to the staff toilet with my bag.
Yeah.
And I crouched on the floor of said toilet and had a pot of apple crumble, but I'd forgotten the spoon. So I just gouged it out with my hand and shoved it into my face and just ate it with my hands, crouching down on the toilet floor.
Oh. Round of applause. Everyone listening, a round of applause, please, for Felicity. I can't do it. I'm holding the microphone. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a hero. Anything, you got to do what it takes. You got to do what it takes to get some sustenance in you, Felicity. That is shocking that you had to go through that. Oh, my word. I've been that hungry. I've been there. Do you know what? I bet the toilet floor gets cleaned more often than the canteen floor. I'm here for you. I hope you've never had to get that hungry since. It's awful that that happened. It's also really funny, and I'm really grateful for you for having shared that with me. You had a fresh thing in an unfresh place, and I hope it did the job. I hope it scratched the itch. Oh my God, the stuff I've squirreled in moments of worried hunger. Oh my word. Amazing. You guys, these answers couldn't be any better. Thank you for them. Keep an eye out for more questions, or keep an eye out if you want to look through for old questions you didn't answer. Let's get back into this brilliant episode with Martin, a.k.a. La Gomme Chef. What about packaging? There's a few things I want to make in the next week or so. And I know I need red onions and lemons.
Yeah.
And I've been in probably 4 supermarkets in the last week, just popping in for whatever, need milk or whatever. They've not been loose in any of them,
no.
So I've not bought them. That fucks me off.
Yeah.
But am I doing the right thing to go, don't get them, don't get them in the net. Wait until you can find a loose one.
Wait, hold out.
Wait until you see a loose one available.
Yeah.
So is packaging anywhere near as important as eating what you've bought? And like activism, should I message Lidl and say, I'm annoyed I couldn't find a loose onion or lemon in your shop? And or why have you put your pouches of rice I used to like buying in now bags that you can't recycle?
Well, this is what it sort of goes all the way back to the beginning when I was talking about be a mate, not a wanker.
Yeah.
Because there's so many battles you can fight, and it's like, make sure that you're doing one properly before you start going off onto other things.
Right.
So it's like this whole thing of like food waste. Like I always say, like if there's, I don't know, Penelope buying, you know, like really expensive bread, and she cuts the middle out to make a sourdough sandwich and leaves the knob ends, and she wastes those, you know, but then you get Janet, who's going to Lidl, buying a loaf of shit white bread that costs her 59p, but she eats everything because she needs to and make ends meet and whatnot. She's doing a better job of food waste than Penelope did picking out, you know, posh ingredients. So always go, there's no point buying, you know, the posh ingredients unless you're actually going to use them. So find the battle that works first, which is obviously solving your kitchen space, making sure you eat what you buy. And then you can move on to these. It's like a progression, like a ladder.
I like the sentence, solving your kitchen space a lot.
It's the thing.
It's exciting.
Yeah, but there's so many things that like get me excited in my dry store that I use, like my vinegars, my oils, like all of my spices and all of that. And it just, it's there. It's just constantly like an evolving space. And like when people start cooking, like I hear it a lot on my channel now, people are like, you got me back into cooking. You start like having like a bit of a blueprint or a roadmap of like where things are. You know, so like I used to go to my wife's house and I'd walk in there and be like, where's this? And she'd be like, what? And I was like, oh, you don't have that. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I've got like everything mapped out for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's the more you cook and you have to enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I hate it. And I'm like, well, don't do it then.
Yeah.
I can't help you. I'm trying.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do for you. Yeah. Every now and again, even though this podcast about eating, I'll get, it's happened twice, if I'm honest, in 6 years, where someone goes, I just sort of see it as fuel and I think it's going to be a long hour. solving your
to an ad break.
Whack a sting in there, will you, Laura?
Yeah, yeah. Loads of sizzling.
I think as well, I mean, I'm just blowing smoke up your ass, but I think what you've done really effectively in
day 5 of the festival. I need some help.
You've done so effectively with your output is it's sort of giving confidence and empowering creativity. And I think that's also what I'm looking for in my new dilemma in terms of like looking in the fridge. And it is, you've being forced into being creative,
yeah,
in the sense that you look at it and go, right, what, that's what there is, what am I going to do with it? I'm not allowed to go to the shop and get a few extra bits to go with it. I'm fucking addicted to doing that, yeah, and I'm going to stop doing it. It's not efficient for anyone, it's not helping anyone apart from the man. So also in your videos as well, like, there's no like strict or rigid recipe.
No.
It's a bit of this and a bit of that. We'll see what you end up with. Like, I think people could follow it. I would be inclined with my probably sort of flirting with the spectrum mind to try and find a sort of paint by numbers way of doing things. Yeah, yeah. There. And you just got to let go.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't copy it exactly. People are going to make what people make with what they've got versus what you've made your version of it with. It's going to be.
Exactly. And I think this is the thing with cooking. Like, I'm a confident cook or chef because I've worked in the kitchens for like 20 odd years. So I could look at a pepper and go, I know 20 ways that I could use that. I could put it into a sauce. I could like roast it. I could dehydrate it.
I only knew 19 ways until today. And now I know paprika.
There you go.
Yep.
So there's all of these things that I have. Like, so when I look into a fridge, I kind of go like, oh, where do I take that? What do I do with this? What do I do with that? And that's what I try to do in my videos, is to sort of like go, you can do this, you can do that. There are a million different ways of using it. You don't have to stick to a recipe.
No.
But here's a method that you could slot in with loads of different things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you said, it empowers people to kind of go, you know what, Martin said that I could, you know, deep fry this courgette in some batter. And it doesn't have to go with, I don't know, a vegan taco.
Yeah.
It can go with a dip that he showed me how to make a romesco out of some pepper. You know, there's all these little things that you kind of like piece together and you can make stuff out. And that's what I want people to get. I don't want them to sit there and go, oh, he's just done a video for, it's got 45 million views of a Wagyu steak with some caviar and fuck that. It's not me. I'm like, go grab a potato and I'll show you how to like make a roast potato, because you're going to do that.
Yeah. You're definitely going to do that. Yeah. I watched that one again this morning, actually.
It's a good one.
Oh, I've got a massive boner for roast potatoes. I wasn't bothering often enough.
No?
No. And Christmas was, I was like, why haven't I have this? Something I have out. I go out for a roast.
Yeah.
But barely.
Big potatoes. That's
big
the
boys.
Key.
That did. I like that tip. It's because you can overdo them.
You can, yeah, you can be a dick.
You can overpower boil them.
Have a couple of wines. Where are those potatoes?
Do you eat the same things all the time? Are you a whore for a variety?
I'm a pretty basic bitch, yeah. I skip breakfast always. I'm just not a breakfast.
You just wait till you're hungry.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm just not a breakfast person. I have a couple of coffees in the morning, get me going. And then I normally come here and I'll do some eggs. I just have fried eggs on bread.
I love eggs.
Like, I don't even toast it because I haven't got a toaster here.
Yeah.
No.
So you're not tied to meal times either then. You just eat when you're hungry.
Yeah.
Lovely way to
live. Yeah. And I mean, like, cooking at home is quite basic. Like, when I'm doing this series, for example, like yesterday I filmed 8 dishes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've got great neighbours that I'm like, hey guys, shakshuka? They're like, oh yeah! Did the Christmas series, fucking hell. Everyone was just like, so what's for today? They were putting orders in.
I love it.
So yeah, I mean, I'm so simple. Yeah. And everyone's like, what's your favourite burger? Five Guys. What's your favourite pizza? It's my mate's place.
Yeah.
Love of Five Guys. Can I tell a story about Five Guys?
Please!
It's a really funny one. I won't mention any names and I won't mention where I was working, but
we both like to get a Five Guys black card if anyone from Five Guys is listening. No shade intended, Five Guys, both big fans.
I've tried so much. Okay. So basically, I had an old boss and he had a daughter, and when Five Guys first came to town, he took his daughter to Five Guys, and then he was like, writes a blog for online, his professional website, and he said, as we finished the meal, one of the best meals ever, it was like my daughter turned to me and said, Daddy, I love having Five Guys inside me. And his finish was, I hope this is the last time I ever hear that from her mouth. I will pull up the article and show you because it's so true.
I'll put a link in the podcast notes.
So every time I go to Five Guys or my mate Neil, we always like get, because you can write on the board, can't you? We always write, I love having Five Guys inside me, and sticking it on the board.
I love having that. Oh!
Yeah. I went out for dinner with my mate the other day and we went to a pretentious Italian and I couldn't enjoy myself. It was just like the atmosphere. I was just like, 70 quid for a bottle of wine.
Fuck off.
Just like, you know, I'm a £6 Campo Viejo Rioja.
You can't go wrong with that.
No, mate. Exactly. Straw pedo, night's ready. Box of wine, 10 quid, you know, lovely. 3 bottles in there. Lovely.
We would laugh at, my parents would be laughed at for that. And in fairness, it was part of a wider problem. But, but these today, so you get decent wine in a box.
Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, it says Merlot on it, so that's all right, isn't it?
Okay, great. But, well, what about eating growing up? Did you, in one of your pizza series, there was a picture of you, presumably with a sibling with your face
my brother,
dough.
Yeah.
Just a nearby child that looks similar.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a house where eating was something that was in, like, celebrated, and was it a big deal eating in your house? What were you like as a kid with eating?
We never ate, you know, like fancy foods. It wasn't always like, oh, come. Dinner time was a big thing. Right. Like six, when we were sort of seven, maybe, it was always right. We're at the table. We're all eating as a family. You know, yeah. My mum was busy. My dad was a teacher. He was busy. So he would get back six, seven. We'd all eat together. It was always a variation of mince. Like, my dad would do spag bol. if he was cooking, it was like out the freezer, like pre-made bolognese. It would be like with mince, a little bit of curry powder to make it into a curried mince.
Ooh.
Shepherd's pie, yeah, lasagna, you know, anything like that.
Yep.
My mum would do sort of strange stir fries or like really rubbery chicken, you know. Mm. It was never really anything enjoyable. But I always think back to Anthony Bourdain and his Kitchen Confidential book. And there's the first paragraph, one of the first bits where he was like, oh, I first tasted butter in France. And it tasted like cheese. We used to spend a lot of time in France. And right. I just remember all of these like moments from reading that, going like, we used to have mussels. We used to eat a lot of cheese, you know, all that kind of stuff. And now when I think back, I'm like, oh, that really got me excited about food.
We had lots of camping holidays in France. I think pretty similar thing. Like, it would be like almost like a bit of a dare of being like, which kid is going to be brave enough to try an oyster? All of that. And be like, oh, it's really exciting.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Those big, like, whoa. Yeah. That's not something you're having every day.
I always remember, like, we, like, as a family, there was like my mum's sisters and stuff. They all chipped in and bought like a farmhouse. So it was like quite cheap. But they had a big, like, big garden. And I always remember walking up this ramp and like smelling cheese. Mm. And I was like, it is absolutely revolting, like proper pungent cheese.
Too much, yeah.
And it was all like, you know, the cousins and they all sitting there like this. And I was like, always, every time I smell a really funky cheese, I just have visions of like weird people sitting on a plastic chair in the garden smelling of cow poo and weird cheese. But that's memories of France for me.
And then you became a chef.
That's it. I was like, what do I do now?
Yeah. Tell me about the last time you went somewhere where you always have the same thing but you went off script, and how did that go for you actually?
Oh,
what do you always have in Five Guys?
Always. So double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
You always got to go double.
But with bacon.
Yeah,
yeah,
bacon double cheeseburger. I always had the jalapenos, which seem to have got spicier over time. I'm not very good with heat.
Right.
But I always had that lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, that's it.
No crunchy onions.
No crunchy onions. I absolutely love crunchy onions, but raw onions I hate.
I want toasty mushrooms.
No, mushrooms I do like, but they kind of like play wreck with my stomach, so I kind of avoid
fair
those.
Play.
Yeah, so does beef, but I do enjoy it. So
yeah, have it anyway.
Yeah,
just got to plan your day. It's all about planning.
Exactly.
Get your kitchen in order.
Good
get toilet
in
order.
Yeah.
No, I interrupt you. Is there somewhere you go where you always have the same thing and you've been off script ever?
I mean, as I say, I'm quite basic. One of my friends has got a pizza joint, Sodo. Big shout out, Sodo people. And they do this pizza called the Wicker Man. Ooh. And it's so good. It's like pizza. I think it's got mascarpone in the middle. I think it's got some kind of meat, but then hot honey on it. Mm. And it is unbelievable. And then I always have it. And I think I actually went there last time. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to have it this time. I'm going to try something different. And I was, I'd say, disappointed, because they're always amazing pizzas. But I was a bit like, oh, I missed that little mascarpone. But pizza story, funny one.
Yeah.
Always love a naff like Domino's every now and then. When the wife's out, I put the son to bed and I'm like, right, that's it. She doesn't like it, so I'm going to get stuck in. And I was so excited that I put double cheese on there. And then I panicked at the end, took the double cheese off, but fucking took all the cheese off.
Oh, no.
So I sat there and this pizza turned up and I was like, so excited. Son was asleep. I was like, yeah, put it down. And I was like, right, flipped it. I was like, what the fuck? Tomato. And I had pineapple on it.
Oh.
So it was like tomato, pineapple and ham. And I was like, I couldn't do anything, so I just had to eat it.
I feel like crying.
It was so bad.
Oh, was
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Double cheese to no cheese.
Ow.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, really bad.
What a disaster. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's my fault. So yeah, if you ever press the double cheese button, make sure you add cheese again.
Do not
when you
unclick that.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, the amount of times I've accidentally ordered four or something.
Yeah.
It was questionable whether you.
I normally
one.
Do that with my Ocado shop.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. 10 wines.
Yeah.
And then do the shop, and then I'll come back to you later.
Yeah.
And then you forget to take. Why is my shop £350?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, and it's confusing when you're going for like what it weighs or however many units, the amount of time you'd be like, and they've got all your shopping right, and then, but just one carrot.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't one mean, gram of ginger.
Absolutely didn't mean to do that. Yeah. I thought that was litter, but that's my whole ginger.
Yeah, there you go.
Ritualistic eating. Let's go there. Is there anything that you particularly, you think demands to be eaten in a particular order or way?
Beef. I think it's steak, anything like that. If it's over a medium,
you don't want it.
I would eat it, obviously, but I think the flavour's there, isn't it? From the medium rare downwards, really.
But say you're having a steak
with
the classics, with like a mushroom and a tomato and some chips.
Yeah.
What order are you doing that in?
Oh, I'd normally go meat and chips, and then save the veggies for the last.
Really?
Yeah.
Room in the inn, or is that going to be okay?
Yeah, it'll always be all right. Like chicken Kiev, chips and peas. I'd always go chicken Kiev and chips and then eat the peas at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's slightly different because then they've had a chance to wallow in the in the exploded side butter.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the best exploding place for a fancy Kiev is Tom Brown's Cornerstone. Ooh. Fish restaurant. Does a hake Kiev. And me and my mate were there, we got absolutely battered. And I was like, come on, we've got to get the hake shot. And I stabbed it and all of the filling went across the table. Yeah, so it was like a 200 quid tasting menu and we'd lost like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, so we was on the table like that, like.
Yeah, good.
Get that fishy juice. Day 6 of the festival. It's a long festival, isn't it? Like Burning Man.
Really long, yeah. He's gone to a crisp now, this man. He's dust. He's mushroom powder, that Burning Man, by this point in the festival. Before, not including today, what's the most romantic meal you've ever eaten?
Oh, easy one. So we were in Switzerland for a bit because my wife works out there. Sounds fancy. She used to work for Vans. So their Swiss office was out there. And there was a place called Cucina de Alice. Cucina's Alice, Kitchen of Alice.
Alan's Kitchen.
Yeah, Cucina's at Alan, let's call it that. And it was the simplest thing. It was like big Italian influence where we were. So it was like ravioli, which was just like the classic sort of ricotta, burnt butter and sage. Mm. And then just tomatoes and burrata. And I'll tell you what, we were just sitting there and it was so good. The atmosphere was just brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, it was just easy to like enjoy yourself and just gaze into each other's eyes and just fall in love. It was easy.
Lovely business.
Yeah.
Switzerland's not somewhere I would have ever guessed anyone having had their most romantic meal.
No.
Because it's quite a frigid culture.
Grey.
Yeah, but it is like it's a formal place, isn't it? It's a funny old place.
Well, I think the weird thing was, like, so my wife was working out there. It was all people, like, that would be from America or, you know, England or Europe or whatever. And they all come there and work together. So they had this, like, weird kind of, like, working commune. So, like, you didn't see much of the Swiss culture.
Right,
it was like just with your mates.
Oh,
so
wow.
it was a strange experience, but it was cool.
I've been there for gigs and I used to have a bit about it, but it was the most bizarre place where afterwards the audience would come up to you and say, one of the best nights of our lives. Thank you so much. We had a great time. Wow, really great comedy. So clever. Like all the compliments, but actually in the gig, they'd sit there smiling.
Yeah.
Like straight backed.
So polite.
Or with a look in their eyes of, intended
money.
Murder. Yeah.
Just going
crying
God,
it was a really
money.
Hard gig. Yeah, and there's no ugly people there.
No.
What have they done with them? Yeah. I saw someone over 100 years old, and I would.
Money, innit?
They were stunning. Stunning.
I would, because he stepped out of his Bentley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that lovely Mrs. Merton line, isn't it? What was it about the billionaire Paul Daniels that first attracted you to him?
Quick fire questions.
What's the most sour thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, I've actually... So there's a thing called Miracle Berry, which is a thing that you can eat. And then, yeah, I ate it. And then obviously the sourness came back and I was still chomping on a lemon. I did a full lemon. I went in and I necked vinegar, everything. My guts were in bits afterwards, but yeah.
Yes, they've featured on the podcast. I took him with a guy called a very funny man called Luke McQueen, and he did a whole lemon skin and all.
Yeah.
And later that night, I got a text message saying, I'll just have some chicken. It tasted of a grape.
Guinness and chocolate milkshake.
The next day, I got a text message saying, tell me I'm not the only person who's just shat their pants.
Miracles happen. We've been constipated for years.
What's the worst thing you've ever found in something that you were eating?
Oh, a tooth. A tooth, I think it was a tooth in a lasagna in Pizza Hut, of all places.
The only way that's okay is if someone between the ages of 4 and 7 was making it.
Exactly.
And it's fallen in there by accident.
Or someone's just gone... You know, imagine it was like the horse meat scandal, but maybe it was like human... Getting rid of humans.
On that note, no other option. Would you eat a person?
I actually just watched that film about the Andes. Mm. I think I probably could.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Nice quick answer.
Lock the door.
Would you rather eat a bit of pelmet or a bit of helmet?
Pelmet or helmet?
Yeah, this question's just for you. Would you rather, if you had to, would you rather eat a little bit of pelmet?
What's a pelmet?
I think it's the bit that goes along the top of curtains. You know, in fancy houses, sometimes they've got that bit like a box.
Yeah.
Material kind of, and MDF box that comes out.
Yeah.
That's a pelmet,
Okay.
Well, pelmet, little bit of pelmet, or a little bit of helmet. Let's say motorbike helmet.
Great. I was about to say if it was the other.
No.
Right, okay. I'll probably go dusty pelmet. Pelmet, yeah.
Good job.
Okay.
Hangover, what are you having?
Oh, it's always... this is bad again. McDonald's.
Yeah.
I've woken up a few times, especially our wedding anniversary. I woke up and we were both just like, oh, God. And the child's like staring at us for attention. You like put something on the TV and it's just like, what's going to happen? And it's like, McDonald's. Yeah. Like 7 hash browns.
Yeah.
And then the really naff cheese and bacon sort of flatbread.
Thing. Yeah. What's that?
It's so rubbish. But
it's just glue.
Oh.
It's just glue and salt. It's so nice. Yeah.
And then
double sausage and egg McMuffin.
I don't. Sometimes I go there and sometimes I don't.
Do you know what? They run the risk texturally of having a bit of tooth in.
Yeah,
and I don't think I can ever have one again.
It's the egg. Sometimes I find like a real spongy egg a bit annoying.
Yeah, it's depressing.
Yeah,
in a yummy way.
Yeah, good coffee and orange juice. That's it.
Great.
And then cry.
A little cry.
Now it's time for the big end question.
Panorama investigates and finds out who 5 guys actually are, and all 5 of them are evil, absolute murdering turbo bastards. All this time they've been poisoning the water system with a magical fluid that makes everybody kick animals. It's an absolute hellscape, but luckily it's agreed to have all never happened, but only if you, and when it does have to be you, Martin, agree to transform into a merman and roly-poly a whole marathon, all whilst crying into a pint glass until it's full. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero! You go down in history as a man who saved us all from a really horrible, kicky animal apocalypse, but your reward is the adulation of all people for all time. You've got like the status of a god, that's the real main prize, but your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. This is the opposite of a last meal. You couldn't be happier, you couldn't be hungrier. I want to know what you're eating. If you were the happiest and hungriest and most like full of like, I fucking made it feelings you could ever have, what would you eat? What would you drink? Also, I'm aware this is only your answer now.
Lasagna.
Okay.
Without a tooth. Tooth free lasagna. I'll make it myself. Right. Anyway, so I'd have a lasagna.
Yeah.
And then I'm a big fan of that old Campo Viejo red wine. I'd probably have like 4 bottles of it because by 2, I'm feeling a bit fruity. Third one's a struggle. Then the 4th, I'm like, right, I'm deep into this. So I might as well just carry on.
Love it.
Yeah.
Do you care where you've got the lasagna from? Are you going back to Switzerland for that, or you made it?
I think I'd make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is another funny story is I cycled around England with my mate. I used to do a lot of Ironmans and triathlons and stuff, and they were so expensive.
Ooh.
So we were like, should we do our own? So we basically packed our bags, put the old, like, panniers. Well, no, not panniers. Panniers? Not pannier. It's just the cheese. The panniers that you put on the back of the bike.
Oh, yeah, the 2 saddles, like for horses, but for a bike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we did that. We kind of, like, semi-planned our route, and we went around the whole of England in 14 days. So we went out to Essex, up, left, down. But everywhere we went, lasagna was obviously the best choice, full of protein, fat, carbs,
gorgeous,
everything,
filling,
garlic
hot,
bread.
Lovely.
So we became a bit of like aficionados of the old lasagna. And Berwick-upon-Tweed, there was a cafe that sold it for £4, but it was Heston Blumenthal's stuff that had gone to Waitrose, got discontinued, and they bought it frozen. So we were sitting in this like shitty cafe, and we was like, why is this so amazing? And they were like, oh, it's because it's Heston Blumenthal's recipe. We put 2 in 1 for you. It was like, oh. So yeah, best lasagna.
Hoovering Podcast.
7th day at the festival. What an incredibly joyful fucking business that was, please. Martin has a load of longer and just as brilliant bits of content going out over YouTube. He's got a relatively new YouTube channel to add to his enormous, astronomically successful TikTok and Instagram. So head over there, will you please? He's asked if I'd join him to do more stuff, and I'm going to say yes. And he gave me some vinegar made with waste stuff, and I've already drunk it. Heaven.
Thanks again for listening. Thank you for your answers to the listener questions and for coming to see me do Metal, my stand-up show on tour. And if you're not able to come to any live stuff for any reason, you are very welcome instead to stream my last show, Wench. It's on YouTube. It's free.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.